You have your Bibles, make your way to Titus. We continue our study in this letter that Paul wrote to Titus as he's in this church in Crete. Titus chapter 1, starting in verse 10 this morning. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced, since they're upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled and the unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works, and they are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. So this passage comes directly after the passage where Paul is telling Titus to find elders in the church that can provide an example of the process of growing in faith. And nothing will put the brakes on the growth of a believer more than those false teachers that infiltrate their way into the church. The salvation of the unbeliever and the growth in faith of the follower of Christ was Paul's mission, and it should be our mission. He wanted to see people saved and those that are saved to grow in their faith. Paul, he began this chapter with the process by which he grew, how his growth took place through a continual growing trust in his Lord and Savior, stemming from the saving faith when he asked Jesus to forgive him of his sins, but continuing to live that gospel-centered life, putting the gospel in front, and then ultimately keeping an eternal perspective. This is what he wanted. This is what he wanted for himself. This is what he wanted for believers. And this is what he wanted for the elders of the church, to provide this kind of an example to all followers of Christ. There were, last week, we looked at them, 16 different qualifications that Titus was for to look for in these elders, these pastors. We finished that in verse 9 last week. So this morning, there's a contrast. And I want you to see that contrast. These two different examples that we have. One should be the example of the elders in the church, the ones that provide the example of following after Christ, growing in faith, living a gospel-centered life, keeping an eternal perspective. And the contrast of the people that are trying to harm that. The Bible talks about these individuals as called as false teachers. And they come into the church. And so Titus, part of his job was to raise up elders that would speak into these people's lives, to rebuke them, And by the way, the church ought to stand up for the truth for the gospel. And this just isn't the elder's job. We should have the courage when someone shares a false gospel to lovingly tell them it's wrong. Or we really don't care about their eternal destiny. See, this is a problem that comes into the church. It wasn't just in Crete. As we've studied the scriptures over the course of the years at even High Point Church, almost every New Testament letter speaks to false teachers and the destruction of legalism. And that's what we find here in Crete as well. Just as a reminder, back in our study in Galatians chapter 1, listen to what Paul says. He said this. He says, "I'm astonished," speaking to the churches in Galatia, "that you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be an anathema, accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For I am I now seeking the approval of man?" By the way, that's what legalism does. "Or am I seeking the approval of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were trying to please man, I could not and would not be a servant of God." Almost every book in the New Testament has to deal with false teachers, and specifically regarding legalism and how contrary it is to the gospel. If anybody gets in the way of the gospel, we are to put a stop to it. The danger, it is real. It must be real because almost every New Testament book speaks towards it. By the way, it's true today. In the church today, as it was in Crete, as it was in Galatia, we have to deal with it. Lots of churches preach Jesus plus good works, plus baby baptisms, plus confirmation. Jesus plus, I'm a good person. The gospel will always divide those who believe the truth and those who want to believe a lie. And that's what it is. Jesus said this, by the way. Look at Luke chapter 12. He says, "Do you think I've come to give you peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on in one house there will be five divided. 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." Jesus says, the gospel message will produce division. Some will believe, and others will not. And we as a church cannot blur those lines. Hold the line. The gospel is the line. In the early church, there were false teachers. Paul calls them in verse 10 the circumcision party. These were Jewish leaders that came into the church to add to the gospel. called legalism. In Acts chapter 15, we see that the early church and the church's leaders had to fight against this. In Acts chapter 15, it says, but some men, these men, came down from Judea, these Judaizers, and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. So what's the answer? Well, good old Peter stands up during this council and he gives them a response. Starting in verse 7, he says, after there had been much debate, Peter stood up. Praise the Lord. We need more people that'll stand up. And he said to them, brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. Keep going. And he made no distinction between us and them, meaning Jew and Gentile, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke? That's what legalism does. It places a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear. But we believe that we are saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Just as they will. So the church needs to stand up for the gospel. Specifically in the context of Titus, Paul is telling the elders, these leaders of the church, you got to stand up against these people. We need courage. So what are we to look for? What are we to look for in these false teachers? Remember, Paul is contrasting the character of an elder with the character of a false teacher. So let's take a look. What do you look for in a false teacher? Well, number one, their character is corrupt. Look at verse 10 with me again. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. So just keep it on that verse. So Paul starts with the character of these false teachers. And ultimately, those who will follow them. See, unfortunately, these false teachers, they don't know the gospel. But the believers that get caught up in it, it will put the brakes on your growth. This is the character of a legalist. You have to ask yourself this, by the way. Am I a legalist in character? Though I could be a follower of Jesus Christ, am I prone to legalism? And the answer should be yes. Because we still war with the flesh. So here's the character. You ready? This is the character of someone who's following a legalist or is a legalist. Number one, they're insubordinate. This word means rebellious. Ultimately, people, they hate authority. No one can tell them anything different. They know. It's their way or the highway. They refuse unity on what really matters. They argue and argue and argue with no facts. By the way, this is the problem with our society. Those that don't want to talk, they just get angry. And they murder. and they destroy property. They can't argue their point because they're wrong. But that doesn't matter because it's pride. A follower of Christ, our authority is Jesus and the gospel. But it isn't enough for these people. It's got to be more than that. So the verse continues. Insubordinate, empty talkers. The idea here is that they are full of meaningless talk. In other words, what they speak about is completely nonsense. Regarding spiritual matters, they talk about things that are completely futile. And they're not helpful at all. Instead of promoting the growth of a follower of Jesus Christ, they see legalism as the answer. See, legalism can never work for spiritual growth because the standard or the goalpost is constantly moving. Because that standard is completely man-made. You have to follow their way of doing things, or you're not spiritual enough. The growth is completely self-driven, not grace-driven. When you go down this road of legalism, you have to be honest. Be honest, because I've been a legalist many times. And those are usually the times when I'm a very unhappy person. I'm constantly comparing. I get frustrated very easily. I don't want to be around people. Because those people are people. You know, 2 Corinthians, I didn't write this, but circle it, highlight it. If you have your Bibles, memorize it. But 2 Corinthians, I think, chapter 12, verse 10. If I'm off on that, this is, I want to say this is spirit given, but if I said the wrong verse, it must not have been from the Holy Spirit. But I'm pretty sure it's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. But it says that you should not compare yourselves with other people, for you will become unwise. Somebody that looked that up, did I get it right? No one looked that up. I said go there and highlight it. Yes, I got a hand. Woo, did it right. You know, Jesus did say, do you not know the scriptures and the power of God? Thank goodness I knew that scripture. Our growth as followers of Christ cannot be self-driven. It has to be as a result of the grace of God through the knowledge of the gospel. Our gratitude, our thankfulness, it will produce fruit. And it won't be based on pride. So these are empty talkers, constantly talking about meaningless things that don't help people grow. And it says they're deceivers in verse 10. In other words, they don't speak from truth. This is specifically contrasting verse 9. Just as a reminder what the elders are supposed to do. We must hold firm. By the way, this is what all Christians should do. But the elders should provide the example. He, meaning the elder, must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught. In other words, as was taught by you, like what Peter said. They were taught the gospel. They got saved by the gospel. Why are we changing it now? So you must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught by you, or taught to you, so that he may be able to give instruction, hence help people grow in sound doctrine, and also rebuke those who contradict it. These false teachers, Paul says, They come especially, it says, from the circumcision party. These were those Judaizers coming down, adding to the gospel. Oh, you believe in Jesus, but also do all the Jewish stuff so that you can be a super Christian. This is what Paul and Barnabas and Peter were arguing against in Acts chapter 15. I already referenced that. So this is the character of a legalist, of a false teacher. They don't like authority, they talk nonsense, and they're constantly lying about the truth of what really causes someone to grow, which is just the gospel. And it's not just the gospel. The gospel's everything to our growth. But what's the problem here? So we contrast the character of the example of the elders with the character of those who are the deceivers or the false teacher. But look what their actions produce. What do you look for in a false teacher? Well, their character, for one. And number two, look at the actions. Look at verses 11 and 12 with me. They must be silenced, since, what are these legalists doing? They're upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. They are upsetting whole families. One of the things that is so dangerous about false teachers is they actually get people to follow them. If I could tell you that if you did this or did that, you would be a better Christian, I bet you some of you would follow. I'm sure of it that you would be convinced if you didn't know God's word. These people didn't just come into church wearing a devil costume, saying, follow me. No, they were probably the most well-dressed people of the church. They probably knew their Bibles better than you. They produced a standard that you felt was completely unachievable. And so what they would give you is a little morsel. If you just did this, if you just did this, if you just did this, you could be like me, a super Christian. See, you can always see the actions of false teachers because they always make people angry. Instead of working together for the gospel, you get camps of people who are the real Christians. And those of us who are just trying to be like them. Lots of comparing. And when you compare, you can upset a lot of people. Remember, Paul said the process of growth in chapter 1, the first six verses, this process of growth comes from the gospel, not legalism. Don't throw away the gospel once you're saved. If preferences trump the gospel, run away. Jews had ceremonies and holidays that they were observing, and they separated themselves from the Gentiles. So which one did you think was better? This dividing wall came down through the gospel. Paul says it in Galatians chapter 2. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. Now, this is where Paul calls out Peter. Believe it or not, followers of Christ, we can be legalists. Paul calls out Peter For before certain men came from James, he, meaning Peter, was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, meaning the Judaizers, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray. See, people do follow. Don't you want to be on the side of the good team? Even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw their conduct, praise the Lord, Paul, you stood up. When I saw their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, Peter, before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? Legalism puts the walls right back up. And it upsets people. What else are the actions of these false teachers and those that follow them? Look back at verses 11 and 12. Not only are they upsetting whole families by teaching, but they're teaching for shameful gain. The idea here is they were motivated possibly for money, because it might be contrasting with verse 7, which the elders shouldn't be doing. Did I have verse 7 back up there? There it is. The elders should be preaching the gospel, not for greedy, for gain. So the contrast could be that these false teachers were trying to have some sort of a gain, a shameful gain. Could be money, but I would argue it's possibly fame. Follow me. It's contrasted with follow him, which is what the gospel teaches. These actions of the false teachers, go back to the verses again. It says one of these Cretans, Paul used, not only are they teaching for shameful gain, but it says one of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons, and this testimony is true. What is Paul saying here? What he's saying here is that there was a poet there called Epimetheus. And Epimetheus had a poem talking about how all the Cretans were liars. And so Paul's kind of using one of their own prophets or one of their own poets saying, this testimony is true. In other words, if we believe false teachers and false teachers are liars, then yes, this testimony is true. They are liars. That's the point. He's already said that the character of these individuals are liars, but he re-emphasizes the point. These people do not speak the truth. They are false teachers. And we are to be different than them. So what should be our response? Well, it says it in here. Now, specifically in context, Paul is calling these elders that would be raised up to rebuke this. But I argue that this ought to be the truth for every gospel-believing Christian. When you hear the gospel being destroyed or added to, we ought to be the first ones to speak up against it with courage. But it says it in verses 13, we rebuke them. Read with me 13 through 16. This testimony is true, meaning they're liars. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and commands of the people who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing's pure. But both their minds and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for any good work. Okay, so what are we supposed to do to these false teachers? Well, specifically, it says we are to rebuke them. But how? How do I rebuke these false teachers? Well, you do it with the Word of God. Again, that's what the contrast is from verse 9. The elder, and I would say any Christ follower, but specifically the elder, must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught. In other words, you were taught that the gospel saves. Why would you change it? Hold firm. The idea is you were taught the gospel. Why are we changing it? Why are we changing that as the means by which we're going to grow too? If we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of the gospel, why are we changing that? And by the way, Peter said that. He must have learned this lesson because he wrote a letter called 2 Peter. And it says this. He says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, you want to be more godly? Get to know your Savior. It doesn't say do a bunch of things. Do it the way they do it. It says fall in love with your Lord and Savior, and the grace of God will build in you so much that the fruit of the Holy Spirit will come out. You want to grow? Fall in love with Jesus and the grace he extended you by saving you from your sins. When the truth of the gospel, by the way, is the center, the truth is presented, real lives change. Legalism does the complete opposite. It makes people angry. It divides people. And it's all non-gospel stuff. So rebuke them sharply. Stand for the gospel. Paul says the rebuke is to be sharp. It's supposed to be severe. This isn't gentle. Now, understand this, though. The purpose of any rebuke is for their restoration. But make no mistake, if they don't change, you rebuke them. You can love people, by the way, and desire for them to tell the truth and to change. But unfortunately, people don't do that. And there will be people that follow that. So it had to be corrected. Titus was to raise up elders that would correct this garbage. Look at verse 14. Not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and to commands of people who turn away from the church. To the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled. Unfortunately, this is common in the church. Someone always thinks the gospel has to be added to, that it's not enough. Their preferences, their traditions, they take over, it says, their hearts and their minds. In other words, their flesh takes over. And it happens all the time. Because the church is made up of sinners. And we need to be constantly reminded of the gospel. Notice they were warned. It will lead to a polluted mind, a polluted conscience. In other words, your conscience will convince you, and your mind will convince you that what you're saying is actually right when you're completely wrong. See how deceptive it is? These people coming in the church thought they were right. And ultimately, verse 16 says, if this is true, if what these Judaizers is saying is true, and you actually believe it, the odds are you may not even be saved. Because a legalist believes that they have to add to Jesus' work. So if that's true, did you believe you had to add to Jesus' work to be saved? Like it's Jesus plus what you do? Because the Bible is very clear, it's all what Jesus did on the cross for our sins that saves us. So Paul's even saying, listen, the individuals that are preaching this are not believers. But if you're going to follow a legalist, we can question whether you're even saved. Because why would you believe it? See, even Satan believes. But does Satan repent? When you add to God's work on the cross, the gospel, you subtract everything. Humility in repentance is what we need. And that's what the gospel teaches. This is the fruit of a genuine follower of Christ. You want to keep fighting for legalism? Your fruit will be known. Titus needed to rebuke these individuals, and it's the elders' job to do the same in the church today. So what's the application as we close? Well, pretty simple. Don't be a legalist. And if your first reaction is, I'm not, you may be a legalist. I am prone to legalism. My flesh is prone to legalism. We are prone to legalism. First, focus on God's grace for growth, not human effort. This is how we fight legalism. My growth as a follower of Jesus Christ stems from His grace and my surrender. The same it did for my salvation is the same grace that is needed for my sanctification. Guess why? Because then He gets all the credit. And He deserves it. But number two, I would say, attend a gospel-centered church. If all the church is a holy huddle of a bunch of people that are better than other people, I think Titus would be speaking against that church. Listen, the church is for believers, because the church is believers. But make no mistake, 1 Corinthians talks about it. Our lives being poured out for the gospel should cause the outside world to want to come in. Because they're sitting there going, what's going on in there? And we can tell them God's at work in here. Attend a gospel-centered church. Now again, you might get criticism about this, believe it or not. I get criticized for this. You preach the gospel too much. We already get that. We got it already. Move on. Well, then this isn't the church for you. Because we will never move on from the gospel. because it's the very gospel that is for the unbeliever so that they can know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and it's for the believer so that we can grow. So I will always point you back to what Jesus did for us on the cross. And I will always make an appeal to you that are here that don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You think you're coming, you think you're going to heaven because of what you've done and what you've believed about God, but you've never truly humbled yourself and acknowledged what Jesus did on the cross for you was for you. You never admitted that you're a sinner and that your sin has separated you from a holy God. You've never confessed that Jesus is Lord and Savior. By the way, He is, whether you believe it or not. You've never confessed that Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. You did die for my sins on that cross. And you never have asked Him to come into your life to change you. Well, I appeal to you again. And I know it's by the grace of God that you'll believe that truth. But I'm praying that the Holy Spirit is doing such a work in you today that you would humble yourself and put your faith and trust in Jesus today. And then we can grow together in the truth of the gospel. You don't want to be a legalist? Don't listen to false teachers, because they're going to try and take you away from the very thing that's going to grow you. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You for the opportunity to go through a book like Titus and re-remind ourselves how prone I am to legalism and how destructive it is to my growth. God, thank You for the opportunity to repent of that sin, to go back to the very gospel and the truth that You died for my sins, and that's the gratitude that'll lead to my growth. Jesus, thank You. May You get all the glory through the work You are doing in Your church. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing a closing song.